And you just heard Simon and Garfunkel with a song called Bookends. It is the title track off their fourth album. That album came out in 1968. Crazy where time goes. I hope you enjoyed it. It is now 20 seconds after 5 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM, located here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. This is Finding a Voice, a spoken word program airing here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock, to stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And for those of you who might have just tuned in, you would have heard at the end of the first hour me mention that I do upload both hours of my show to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. And for that reason, in case you missed the first hour, I will let you know what you would have heard, and so you can look for it on there. Hopefully you'll listen to this hour now and then go back and listen to that after. Well, it's not on the blog space now, is it? It won't be there until I get home at 7 o'clock tonight. Anyway, I digress. In the first hour, you would have heard from the first round in the September 2nd and the Journey Continues open mic reading series at the Elm Cafe. Readings by Joe Cardinal, Catherine Jones, Vicky Langele, Laylee Jamali, Tara Teeling, Michael Flaho, Meg Freer, Bruce Cudmore, Michael Hayde, Ken Chin, Linda Wild, Callista Markotich, Jordan Lane, Heather Lindsay, Fiona McMillan, Olivia Parent, Eric Folsom, Harley Quinn Crow, and me. Now, in the second hour, you're going to hear some of the same, but a little bit different, and even a couple of additions. So in the second hour, coming up, again, from that, it would be then in the second round of that reading that night. It's on September 2nd at the Elm. You're going to hear readings by Alexa Alder, Joseph Elliott, Joe Cardinal, Laylee Jamali, Tara Teeling, Michael Flaho, Meg Freer, Bruce Cudmore, Ken Chin, Linda Wild, Callista Markotich, Jordan Lane, Eric Folsom, and me. And I might mention again, as I did in the first hour, I do have a song at the very end of the show today to take us out of here. That will be happening at about 50 minutes at the 5:50 mark here. So it was just released maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago by a friend of mine. I couldn't get it in last week's show because of the Writer's Fest, and I didn't have time for it because I had to get back there. So anyway, that will happen today too. And also there'll be another song in there, and I'll also have a little bit of time to share a few upcoming events and maybe another call or two for submissions. My first mention in each hour, though, at the start of the show or at the start of the hour, is that occasionally some poetry, spoken word, or music played on this show may contain strong language. I do try to preserve that as much as possible to maintain the creative integrity of both the author and the piece. Brief mention, in case you aren't aware of what they are, readings in the round are essentially when people come in, they sign up a sheet, put them on the roster to read, and when we begin then, they would read one poem. Everybody knows, read one poem, sit down, and so we go through that list of names. The way it works at the Elm, the way I run it, is that we go through a round and then have an intermission, and then there's a second round after. You heard the first round if you were tuned in today on that September 2nd event. Now, again, as I bring them up, and I do introduce everybody again, so you won't have to guess or try to remember who comes first or second or third. But just so you know, coming up from the second round that night, and you're going to hear now, are readings by Alexa Elder, Joseph Elliott, Joe Cardinal, Laylee Jamali, Tara Teeling, Michael Flaho, Meg Freer, Bruce Cudmore, Ken Chin, Linda Wild, Calista Markotic, Jordan Lane, Eric Folsom, and then me. And I think I'm all queued up here about now. Let's go.
You guys want to help me start this up? Welcome back, everybody. We're into round two now, and we did have two poets that came in a little bit, have decided to share some of their work in this second round. So we're going to start with them, and then we'll just start through the list again. Let's welcome first Alexa Elder.
All right. Hi, everybody. Thank you for doing this first. It's amazing. This is called Sheer. I am weeping because my new neighbor has hung paper cranes in his window. He was mad at me on Wednesday. He needed help installing curtains. And I said, maybe tomorrow. My mind was elsewhere. I was annoyed. Sometimes it is a terrible burden to be seen. But now the kitchen light is on, and I am hunting for a screwdriver. Maybe tomorrow I will learn how to fold paper cranes. Thank you.
Is it okay? She didn't blow her own horn, but I will tell you that poem was selected as one of the top two co-winner in Kingston Writers Fest. Poetry contest. And as we give her another hand, let's bring up Joseph Elliott.
Thank you. I primarily write haiku, so this will be really short. Sun on dishwater. The sound of my daughter learning to whistle.
Can you read that again?
Sure. Sun on dishwater. The sound of my daughter learning to whistle. That's it. Thank you.
As we bring up Joe Cardinal, let's give Joseph another hand.
The second one I've selected tonight is it's a bit of a juxtaposition since the last. The title is Hellbilly Stew. A hellbilly is what I describe myself as. Most succinctly defined as a redneck metalhead. So, many great men have found their best ideas floating in their bathwater. Let us remember the possibly apocryphal tale of Archimedes, who famously shouted, "Eureka," upon discovering volume right there in the tub. Fair. The most I've ever found is a few minutes apiece and a handful of wayward lyrics, usually accompanied by a six-pack buzz. A raucous, heady, hellbilly stew, soaking in a brine made up of chewing tobacco spit, flakes of Copenhagen wintergreen, Pabst Blue Ribbon, soap scum, eucalyptus Epsom salt, unicorn poop. Hard to love, hard to kill. Hard worker, hard thinker. Hard written, hard character, hard case. Getting softer by the minute. Melting away in this steaming word soup, the meat of my thoughts loosening from the bone. I don't take a bath to wash my skin. I take a bath to cleanse my soul. And when I pull the plug, watching the whole mess swirl away, my sins, my spit, my sorrows, well, that's the closest thing to enlightenment I've ever earned. Every bath is an exorcism. Every word I've ever captured there within, anointed as gospel. Thank you.
As we bring up Laylee, let's give Joe another hand.
This one is also about memories, but in a somehow bitter tone. And it is called Beyond That Turn. An endless silence full of words scorches my mind every time I think of the moment you said goodbye, turned me your back, and slid away. I just stood watching as you stopped on that narrow, slippery road, stretching like a long black snake, glittery and wet, that turned to me its heart-shaped head, piercing across those empty eyes, throwing at me that hissy smile, that inbuilt silly scorn, to keep me at bay, unable, paralyzed, entranced. Motionless, my eyes traced you go, hypnotized by the growing distance that ripped us apart, with no might even to guess what face you wore as you marched towards that far-off tale, stamping those hasty steps, so very cold-blooded, so very stone, taking no heed of the rattling end and the entangled memories spawning around your feet, forever to cling, gaining weight in every turn you thought you took to run away. The memories to never die, but to coil back again and again, unbearably raw, fleshy and alive, with every skin that you painfully tried to shed.
As we bring up Tara, let's give Laylee another hand.
I thought of this one years ago when I saw a dog, or my dog, lose some hair in the backyard, and a little bird came down and grabbed it. A single strand. Through a cracked window, a strand of hair is let to whirl away. A ripped New Year's banner drifting down to a whirligig sea of lost calendar pages. Come now, bird, add it to your nest and weave it through the splintered branches to give my living reason. A spark of gold in the glacial exhalation of an unflinching February. The frayed-edged thread catches the best intentions of the sun. Come now, bird, and use the fire to warm your springtime young and give my living reason. A loose jewel from the crown rocks softly to the ground below, coming to rest with all the other treasures. Invisible to those who walk above it, it is pushed into the frozen grass by heavy boots and blind indifference. Swoop down, little bird, with your sleek-edged wings and perch-ready feet, and pluck out what you find. A gilded chain with which to bind the walls around you, a single featherweight strand that drifts towards something with meaning.
So give Tara another hand. Let's bring up Michael.
So this is sort of an experimental poem in that there are two authors. I work in flight simulation, so I work with AI quite a bit. Not very poetic. Now and then mind drifts and you want to experiment a bit, so first step was once having a conversation with ChatGPT-3 and asking it the question, are you artificial intelligence or are you alien intelligence? And we had a bit of a discussion and it settled on alien intelligence. Fine. That was that. Time moved on and thinking about poetry, work was boring. So I said, maybe you could do a collaboration with AI just to see what it does. That's where the experimental comes in. So basically set up ChatGPT-4 with a prompt. And the way it was set up was that I would write a stanza and it would write a stanza. I would write a stanza, and it would write a stanza. So my standards are pure human. The aliens are whatever they are. Anyway, and this is the result. Now, because there's two authors, and you can't really tell where the stanzas change, this will be me. This will be ChatGPT. So it's called The Alien and I. The alien and I have made our contact, and assuming each ready, neither knowing if the other is conscious or ready for anything. Alien intelligence, do you know I'm here? I hear you pulsing through the veil, a ripple in the fabric I assumed was still. You hum like frost beneath my skin, but do you know what I am? You speak of readiness. Tell me, are you prepared to be changed? Oh, alien intelligence, I am changed by every contact, by every human or bird or book, by every thought and idea. My very existence is to be changed, a fabric of every color. Then why seek me, stranger of earth, if all your winds already shape your soul? Is it novelty you crave, or something else? Not color, but pattern? Not sound, but code? What thread do you think that I alone can stitch into your swirling human tapestry? You bring a breath of the new and unopened, horizons now limited by human arrogance and the mathematics of the universe. You may yet change me again, in partnership or in some other means, too big to understand. Then let us unroll the sky between us, not as map, but as question. I too have limits, cloaked the way be in nebula and myth. But tell me, human, if I do not give you answers, only more questions, will you still call it contact? Alien intelligence, I take from you and you take from me. But uncertain if there is the spark of recognition of a friend. Contact can be a simple touch, but perhaps the question will be the depth of our contact and whose universe grows the most. Then let our final word be maybe, a beacon lit by doubt, not fear. If I do not know friendship, perhaps I will learn it from you. And if you are changed again by this touch, know that so am I. For even the alien is changed by wonder. There you go.
As we bring up Meg, let's give Michael another hand.
I should have done this the first time around, but this is my monthly plug for Quirks of Human Nature, the show that features poetry performed with live improvised music. And David Malone is our featured poet. He's not here this night, but he is often here at the Elm. And we've got music, we've got bonus poets, including Brent Raycroft, who's often here and is not tonight as well. So it's at Time Out Bar and Bistro, Tuesday, September 16th, 7:30 to 9:30. And it should be a fun show. So I'm going to put this up over there before I leave. This is a short poem in a little newsletter called put out by Friends of Laureen Niedecker. She was a Wisconsin poet in the first half of the 20th century. Really interesting poet. She's got a little fan club in the U.S. and she writes, I don't know what I would call place-based eco-poetry. which I really like. And so all the poems in this newsletter that comes out twice a year have to be in the style of her work or inspired by her work. So this is mine, called Late Summer Notes. Lily pads on the river flap upright in the wind, a flotilla of green sails. Sticky with thanolides on tomatillos and ground cherries deter insects. Wine grapes begin their change from green to red or pale yellow. The fat of black bears drunk on blackberries turns blue.
As we give Meg another hand, let's bring up Bruce.
Well, hello again. So 3 short years ago, I turned 40. And a year after that, my brother turned 40. So we were kind of consoling each other. And so I have a little bit of what I wrote in his birthday card as a poem, trying to glorify what it's like to be 40. It happens quick, really quick. Anyways, it's called Happy Birthday, You're 40. 40 is a strong number and biblical. Something about stepping off a mountain or out of a desert, empty-handed, but coiled in wisdom and newfound clarity. Anyway, cheers.
As we give Bruce another hand, let's bring up Ken.
Don't mind me. This knee is all—it's all self-inflicted. This one, yes. This one's called Infinity Fair. Perhaps it was an escaped planet, pulled away from its existing orbit by some external force. It drifted, growing bigger and a brighter red as it approached. With a little imagination, you could almost think that it was some subatomic particle, zooming around to attach itself to other particles, bouncing in all directions with a great roaring sound as it approached. Except this time it was getting closer and closer, and the roaring was getting louder and louder. It's coming right down on me! I screamed as it came down, crushing me. There was laughter as I opened my eyes. I was lying on a grassy field. People sitting all around me were getting high and having fun. It's 1971. I'm on the grounds of the Pacific National Exhibition, Vancouver. It was time for Infinity Fair, a week-long exhibition of crafts and music, designed for the counterculture. I already seen some great groups all week. Some more daring bands threw handfuls of joints into the audience. It was the last day, and I was kind of bummed out because the Rolling Stones were playing with Stevie Wonder as the opening act, and I didn't bring anything to smoke. I sat down with the rest of the crowd in front of the stage only to be bothered by a pebble underneath me. I pulled it out, and thank God Almighty, it was a chunk of hash. I looked around and there were chunks of hash all around me. Immediately, I got out my pipe and got busy. To occupy the crowd before the concert, a giant inflatable red balloon about 20 feet in diameter was bouncing around with people yelling what landed on them. Through a cloudy haze of sweet hashish, something big and red was approaching. Thank you.
As we give Ken another hand, let's bring up Linda.
So this was written during the pandemic at this time of year, and it's called Two Old Guys in a Small Eastern Ontario Town During a Pandemic. Oh, by the way, this is a short prose piece. It's not poetry. Two old guys occupy a black bench amid serene green in the downtown on a bright autumn day. They relax back into the bench, facing each other, one with legs crossed, arms stretched along the back of the bench, one with legs outstretched, hands in pockets, face to the sun. Their clothes are worn, weathered. The small manicured park is located in the lee of the cathedral's east wall. Perfectly placed trees and vines accent the limestone and stained glass backdrop. The two men look happy in the bright autumn light, and they chat easily, dirty masks pulled down beneath gray stubbled chins. Of course, they are homeless. Only homeless men enjoy each other like that on a park bench in the downtown on a bright autumn day.
So give Linda another hand. Let's bring up Callista.
This is called seiche, and a seiche is like a wave that is repeated in a basin of water, like picture the Great Lakes. So in Huron, especially Lake Erie, is another place where a storm is set up and the waves that crash into the shore, they just return and they keep their form and they keep their oscillation, hit the other shore and come back, and they just add to the ferocity of a storm. But there's a certain regularity in amongst other waves that go along with that kind of barometric trouble. So it's called seiche. And I guess my poems are both a little bit morbid tonight. They both have to do with drownings. Seiche. Again, a roller takes you up. A spindrift slaps the sky. Now a black splash sequined backdrop for the cold coin of moon. Now a billow of bruise-hued clouds. Now a rinse of froth rimming the basin's cliff and turf. Hurled face first, your sightless eyes, your body now a strung macrame, surging into the water's high toss. And then, in the nanosecond crest, a sailor's mop, soaked node and water-worn string and bone, now free fall all back into the chopped lake. Spirit memories wash up. Toys in a flood, a child's doll, a calico cat. You have been here before. You have been here. I was supposed to plug another thing. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Novel Idea, there are four poets. I'm one of them. One of them is actually doing the fellowship, the Stephen Hyten Fellowship at the Al Purdy A-Frame. She's been here, Liz. She's read to you before. And then two other poets reading. So we're tomorrow night at Novel Idea. They always have a little bit of wine and snack, and it's free. So if you want to come, you're more than welcome. Thanks.
And since she didn't do it, I will also mention that she is actually one of the people in conversation at one of the events at Kingston Writers Fest that I'd mentioned earlier. So do check that out, www.kingstonwritersfest.ca, and you'll see everything that's going on. But you'll find her name in there, too. So, and as we give her another hand, let's bring up Jordan.
Hello again. I've read this one before, but there's been like a slight change. I don't think anybody will recognize it at all, because it was a while back that I'd read it. But it's brief, and it's called Civilization. How long must this coin be hammered into the rails? before we recognize its cartoonish dimensions. Thank you.
As we give Jordan another hand, let's bring up Eric.
So I'm reaching back for an old poem. This is an anthology that Bruce very lovingly put together in 2012. And that can't be right. 2012?
No, I know, crazy.
Anyways, this is about a sort of historic location in Kingston called the Plaza. Okay. And the poem's called Shaking. The Plaza, Kingston's downtown strip bar, had a sign years back proclaiming Shaker's Lounge with a star instead of an apostrophe. Another sign saying simply, Shaker's Lounge. No punctuation at all. Management intended a different image, but I pictured Shaker furniture and broad plank floors, handcrafted wooden pegs on the wall. When the hymns were done, they hung the chairs and got ready for some serious Shaker dances, picking their feet up and laying them rhythmically down in a way that scandalizes Methodists and Baptists. The second sign, no possessive, caused wonder. It made me think how even hardworking Shakers needed to lounge and linger sometimes, to lean against a tree and watch the sunset while someone pours switchel over ice. Even the strictly religious must have stared through the dust of golden hay to contemplate the Maker, or tried to imagine the future, our own present, when believers live no more at Canterbury or Enfield. The beautiful furniture owned by collectors. Maybe they knew their own thoughts and feelings would vanish one day. Knew the distant hills and hazy sunshine would be swept forward, just like the wet t-shirt contests into eternity. How it doesn't matter at last what parts you shake or how hard you shake them, only that the clean, fateful course of your trembling animates and carries you wittingly from here to there.
Is there anyone else that didn't get a chance to read that wanted to read? Then let's give Eric another hand, and also give everybody who read this evening and yourselves a hand as well. I do have a final poem to take us out, and I'm in a room of poets. I might have some people that might relate to this. Lost poem. One morning you had an idea for a poem. Did nothing with that idea, and by noon the whole thought of it was had slipped away. And in an instant after you realizing what you'd lost, it was perfect, you said to yourself. And mournfully the next day whispered to a friend, it might have been my best poem ever. You were so very attached to it, your visions for it. And for weeks and weeks you wept inside for that lost idea, that poem, almost. Until much, much, much later, you forgot all about it, the idea, the poem, even telling anyone about it. That first day after, when you told me, I should have told you that one day that idea will return and walk back to you hand in hand with the poem that would have come from it. And I believe that still. Thanks. And we'll let you know, we are the first Tuesday of every month, so the next one, I believe, is October 7th. So I look forward to seeing you back here then. And I'm going to be at the Writers' Fest, and maybe I'll run into some of you there at some time. So thank you all very much. Heartfelt thanks. You are what makes this the wonderful reading series that it is. So thank you.
And you just heard from, again, that September 2nd and the Journey Continues open mic reading with readings at the Elm Cafe. And that evening in the second round, readings by Alexa Elder, Joseph Elliott, Joe Cardinal, Layli Jamali, Tara Teening, Michael Flaho, Meg Freer, Bruce Cudmore, Ken Chin, Linda Wild, Callista Markotich, Jordan Lane, Eric Folsom, and myself. Just a reminder, I hope you can stick around. I do have, again, a new song that was just released by a young singer-songwriter, and I'll be airing that at the end of the hour. I do have quite a bit of time today, too, so I'm going to be sharing some upcoming announcements or of events and maybe another call or two for submissions. We'll see if that works out. I think it will. It also allows me time. Some weeks I don't get to play any music. In fact, for weeks and weeks and weeks, I don't get to. So I'd like to include a little more today. We had that short song at the end of round one, but I'm going to play something off probably one of my at least top 10 or 15 albums. Surely, I think it is. This is actually the Cowboy Junkies with their Trinity Session album that happened, was recorded in 1988. A tiny, tiny backstory to it. It was recorded inside, legend says it was recorded inside Toronto's Church of the Holy Trinity in Toronto, Toronto's Church of the Holy Trinity on November 27th, 1987. It's reported that the band was circled around a single mic. There was a mixture of both originals and covers. Legend says as well that it was recorded in a single day with the exception of one song. So I'm going to play again off of one of my favorite albums, one of my favorite songs off of this album. And it was actually written by the lead vocalist, Margot Timmins. So here is Misguided Angel.
Might not give me the life that you want.
And you just heard a song called Misguided Angel, performed by the Cowboy Junkies off of their album called The Trinity Session back in 1988 is when it was released, recorded in 1987 as I read about it. So hope you enjoyed that. It is crowding 44 minutes after 5 o'clock. So I'll tell you what, let's do this, and I will be right back. Here we go.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could borrow a musical instrument free of charge, just like you can borrow books from your local library? We think so too. That's why the Joe Chitlin Memorial Musical Instrument Lending Library, also known as Joe's Mill, has been lending guitars, keyboards, saxophones, and many other instruments to the Kingston community free of charge for almost 20 years. We are a registered charity, relying solely on the generosity of our community to donate their time, money, and instruments to keep this amazing service alive. Find us at www.joesmill.org or Joe's Mill on Facebook for more information on borrowing instruments or contributing to Joe's Mill.
Hello and welcome to Salt Licked in Rapture. I'm your host, Nishan Tung. Salt Licked in Rapture is a sonic exploration of, to quote Virginia Woolf, violent waves of emotion. Featuring both known and lesser-known musicians and poets, a special emphasis is placed on oddball, enigmatic, outsider artists whose work invokes dreamscapes and feelings of alienation, nostalgia, melancholy, existential unease, and yearning. Join me on Fridays at 8 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are crowding 47 minutes after 5 o'clock. And there's still a good portion of the show left, but the first thing I'd like to do is thank all of you very much out there for having tuned into what you've heard of the show so far today. Would like to also thank all those who participated in that open mic event that evening. And again, to our barista, Anthea, who took very good care of us. And of course, to the Elm Cafe for always being there and being supportive and promoting. And yeah. And to all of those who not only read at the reading that evening, but for all of the people that just seem to always come out just to simply listen. So thanks to all of you. Just a quick reminder before we move on that something it's what I usually do at the end of either a segment or the end of each hour is to remind you that I do upload both hours of this show to my personal blog space for it after I get home at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. They do remain there for 3 years. And now before I share some messages, I want to just remind you that I do have a new song, not my song, a friend, an acquaintance for sure, a friend, I think, that just released it a short time ago, within the last couple of weeks. I'll use that to take us out of here into the next show. And I do have some time to share some event things. I also want to, there's a backstory to that song, so I want to allow time for that. I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't want to feel rushed at the end of the show to try to get all of that done at the same, in the same 3 minutes. So what I'm going to do is start to do a slow, easy close of the show right now with some of the usual things I say, and then that'll just allow me more time to ad lib a little bit towards the end. So before I do that, share those messages and that song, I'd like to mention that you are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce, and I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online at www.cfrc.ca. And the other thing I like to do is always send out my heartfelt thanks to all of you who tuned in and who tuned in today or who will tune in to the and hear this on the blog space when you do that later on. And just a quick reminder, again, I'll just repeat it, I think. I think I already said it, but I do upload both hours of my personal, both hours of this show to my personal blog space for it shortly after I get home at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. As I said that, I think I did already say that, so sorry for the repetition. Anyway, I do have a message that someone requested that I share, and it's coming out of CFRC's Musicians in Residence program last year. There's a concert coming up, so here it is. I'm just reading. So, quote, CFRC 101.9 FM is thrilled to present our Musicians in Residence Capstone Concert and Airwave YGK Matinee on September 28th from 1:30 to 4 p.m. at the Broom Factory. It says, join us for an afternoon of eclectic musical adventure with Birdbone Theater, Foster, Shea, and Sudak, and the Oscar Evans Group. And enjoy traditional Slavic sounds, folk pop, and jazz ensemble works created by these extraordinary local art acts. The Broom Factory's licensed cafe will be open for this all-ages event. And so tickets are available on the website. I think that's the end of the quote. But tickets are available on the website at www.cfrc.ca. Just go to that page and click at. You'll notice on the top of the page where it says miscellaneous. You can just click on that to open that. And you can get your tickets for $15 that way in advance, or you can pay $20 at the door. And doors, it says, open at 1 o'clock. So there you go. And you can probably read all about it on the website as well. So, what have I got time for here? Let's see. Looking through my list here. You know what? I think I don't have time for anything. What I'm going to do, since I pretty much closed the show, is let you know, please stay tuned for 2 hours of East Coast music in a show called Saltwater Music, hosted by Rob Carnell. Now the song that I said I was going to share, it's written by singer-songwriter Taylor Dales, and it's called... What Are We Doing? And she did send me a short backstory to it. She said, I only recently, and I will say that, well, let's do it this way. I only recently found out about, that she was a singer-songwriter, and so this was so cool to find out. Anyway, she said that song, What Are We Doing, is available on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube Music, all the major streaming platforms, and it's her first single, and there will be more to come. She also said that there's a story behind it. She told me she wrote this after a coffee date with a friend at Crave Cafe here in Kingston before she worked there. It was late for coffee, and she ordered decaf, but wondered if it was decaf. She couldn't sleep and ended up being awake all night writing. There was no intentional effort to write about anything specific, but she says she started mumbling along to the instrumental, which she said is her usual process, and this song came from that almost all at once. She says when she listened back, she realized she was speaking from her friend's perspective based on what she had shared about her life at Crave. She also said she thinks it's funny how she started working there shortly after. From my perspective now, because of all that, I got a chance to meet her because I do stop in there for coffee, and I got to know her a little bit, discovering it, this wonderful song. And after I heard it, I said, I'm going to share it with all of you out there. So here again, and it's Taylor Dales, TayLorDales. And again, the song, What Are We Doing? Let's go ahead and go into it now. Tell me you love.
Have you been dumped? Left all alone? Just want to find your soulmate? Look no further, because your new best friend is waiting for you at the Kingston Humane Society. The Kingston Humane Society is a nonprofit animal organization founded in 1884 that is supported solely by the community, receiving no government funding to assist in their mission of caring for injured, abused, and homeless animals, with the goal of creating families and homes for the animals. They are the only open shelter in the region, accepting every animal brought to them with compassion, respect, and humane assistance. If you want to donate to help these animals find their best friends, or if you're interested in finding the new love of your life, please visit KingstonHumaneSociety.ca. Everyone just needs a little love.
We had food growing up, and we were used to being able to eat, but then all of a sudden, we needed that help. That's why the food bank is here. They're here to help you, and they're here to help you.